Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8 is a powerful verse. Jeremiah, we all recognize, I've been working our way through Jeremiah, so we're well in tune to that. He is prophesying the fall of Jerusalem, and he's basically saying your wickedness is going to be judged. There's no way out. But he keeps pointing them to the greatness of God. The one thing that you can hold on to, even though you're going to go through judgment, is the greatness of our God. Notice it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Trust and hope. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when he comes. But its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Now, put this in the context. He was sharing it to a people that were literally going to have their city leveled. They're going to see loved ones slaughtered, and the few that survive, most of them will be hauled off into captivity, never to return to their homeland. And he says, you know what? Your blessing? Better well be trusting in God and hoping in God. And if you will do that, you can flourish. Not talking about change in circumstances here. He's talking about them flourishing in this very, very difficult situation. A great thing that we need to be doing personally is we really don't know where our nation is going. But if you step back and be a historian or an ethnographer or one of those people just observing what's happening here, you would say, this nation is collapsing before our eyes. And every nation that collapses ethically and morally never last is run over by another. God does not put up with it. You just have to look at the fall of the Roman Empire, the fall of the Greek power when they were in force. And you go on to even the Great Britain Empire. It went down because they started to turn and neglect God, even though they were at one point, like we were, the number one sender of missionaries. Days do not look good. So what can we do? The truth is, I don't think anybody in here can have much of an impact on the world scene. But we can all have impact on the eternal scene. And we need to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to hold the light of Jesus Christ up and be prepared to do it, even in an extremely difficult situation. Amen? Now, think about that in this context. In troubles, trust and hope. And then you notice this is the same repeated message that was in Psalms chapter 1. The blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that shall bring forth fruit and leaves. The same exact concept. Father, we come before you as a group of believers. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing. We ask, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts. Help us to grow much closer to you than we've ever been. Lord, help us not to be content with what we know or what we think we know, but, Father, to be drawn and overwhelmed with your mighty might and greatness. We thank you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I do not believe I mentioned that both Jeremy is over here playing on the piano with us tonight, and his roommate for the summer. They're both here on internships from their university. One is in accounting, one is in computer sciences. So Jackson is here with us also, and we're thankful that you've chosen to worship with us. I suspect that they both come from churches that are 100 times bigger than ours. So this has got to be a cultural experience for them, if nothing else. So, but we're thankful you're here. Why don't you stand with me, and we're going to... No, sit down, because I want you to be sitting down when you see this. I want you to just dwell on this for a second. And when you look at these three photos, think about how those photos might reflect something in your own life. What's your thoughts? Okay, I just want you to think about it. No comments. What thoughts do these images stir up in you? We're going to answer that question for one another a little bit later. But for right now, we're going to sing about our Lord's amazing grace. If you're able, why don't you stand with me and we'll sing this together.
Amazing grace, the sweet, the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear. Appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Though many dangers, toils, and snares I have already, has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home.
Now we're going to stop there. Could you just go one hymn further? Just skip the next one all the way. Go to that. We're running out of time here. There we go. We're going to sing that one. You may be seated. We'll sing this together, and then at that time, I want to take feedback on your thoughts on that photo.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Sin and despair like a sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater than grace untold. Voice to the refuge, the mighty cross. Praise.
stop right there. Do you go to that slide? Keep going. We'll get there in a second. There we go. When you look at this slide, let me just click it so the question's up there. What thoughts come to mind? Panic.
You know, it seems more like there's peace somehow underwater.
So two of you saw peace. One said trouble. Okay, so we have trouble. We're learning to swim. And, you know, I thought of, when I saw this, I thought of teaching my grandkids to swim. You know, when they go down and they can't quite figure out how to come back up yet, man, there's a panic in their eyes. And you're a tremendous hero when you pull them up, by the way. So you're a good guy, not a bad guy. But you know what? A lot of people, this really describes where they are in life. You know, things are quite a ways out of control. You know, they've already, it's the 25th of the month, and on about the 18th, they ran out of money. You know, there's others that have relationships that are really critical relationships to them that they're blown apart. They're not coming back together anytime soon. You know, they can't see it, so they feel hopeless. There are a tragic many that had started into just socially drinking or socially partying and are now absolutely forgot what socially looks like. And it's absolutely driving every aspect of their life. They wake up in the morning, their first concern is whether they're going to get their bottle of liquor or their hit. Somehow or another, they're going to get hold of the drugs. A very large percentage of our population is caught up in this stuff. Wanting to quit, not knowing where to turn and what to do. And here's another tragedy. There are not a lot of believers that really know what Scripture says about this. And they're now, in many cases, I end up talking to a lot of people that really do know the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're caught up in addiction. Or they have really messed up their marriages so that this thing is a broken. It's like trying to put together a glass that has been slammed onto a cement floor. You know, it's not coming together without some obvious signs. You know, but we as a group of people who profess to know Jesus Christ, I got to believe everyone in here could give a testimony that they know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. We need to, one, know for ourselves, unquestionably, there is no problem we face in life that is too great for our Lord to walk with us through it. Number one. And number two, we ought to know how to take a person to the Word and give them hope in these desperate times. That's one of the things that I hope before the evening's out, you will leave with confidently, looking at a couple verses, writing it down in just a few points, be in a position to really help. At least it stir in their hearts that there is hope, which is so important. You first have to establish some involvement in a person's life. And then second, you have to instill hope. Three, you'll need to gather information so you understand what the real problem is. And then after that, you need to implement or organize, develop a biblical response to the problem and then work with them through the implementation of it. Having said that, we'll sing another one of these songs on grace. And you may remain seated, and then after that, we're going to take prayer requests, and it's our prayer time. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's
me who caused his pain, for me who him could death pursue. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left his Father's throne above, priest so invented his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's self. His mercy all immense and free, for, oh my God, fond of me. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Let's stop right there. I'd like to hear some testimonies. We'll sing one more verse and we'll take the testimonies. How the love of God has been evident to you recently. Some testimony of how God's love has been evident in your life recently. Okay? We'll sing the next verse, and then I'd like to pass the mic around.
Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature. Diffused a quickening ray, awoke the dungeon flames with light. My chain fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Okay, who would like to be first? Okay. You're right there. You got it.
Last December, I was losing my job of 20 years, and right away I got a new job. And then I was offered, well, I've been working there since the end of January. I was offered another job recently, and when I came to the people to let them know that I was going to be leaving because the job just seemed like it was fit our family so much better and whatever, they just poured out so much love on me. I just saw God just moving, and when I think about how he led me to that job and just they gave me a raise and they reduced my hours and they're going to pay my parking, and so he looked at me and he said, see, you can have it all. But it just feel God's love so much. through this whole process.
Yeah, amen. Comes at a beautiful time, too, with all your other opportunities to serve others.
So I've been reading through the Bible this year, and I'm doing a chronological reading, which I've never done before. And right now I'm reading through the life of David. And what's neat is that after you read about an episode in David's life in Samuel or Chronicles, it then takes you to the Psalms, where he's written a psalm about what's happening there. And it's just put it in a really new light for me. And one of the verses that really stood out to me was Psalm 68:19. And I can't remember what awful time was going on in David's life. I've kind of lost track because you look at his life and he just had problem after problem after problem. But God took him through all of it. In Psalm 68:19, David says, "Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens." And looking at David's life, I mean, it's not the life of wealth and prosperity that we would think. Yes, he was king and God blessed him, but he had so many things that go wrong and people turn against him. And it was just a reminder to me that as I'm going through my daily life, I don't face things like David did, but, you know, I have challenges and struggles just like the next person. And God's love has become so, so much more real in my life just through those daily struggles that God is there with me. Not in some, you know, great spectacular way, but just that undertone of God's support and God's care and God's grace like we've been singing about. And it's all Amen. Because of his love for us. So just praise him for that.
Amen.
Mine just happened today. And I was in, there were three lanes. One was going on to the freeway and I was in the middle and another car was beside me on the left. We pulled up and coming to a light, he got behind me and went onto the freeway. But before he went on, he stopped the car, and the whole time the light was red, he was hurling obscenities at me. And because of God's love, he's broken those chains of anger and hurt and all of that. I forgot about it as soon as we took off until now. But I didn't feel... I did pray for him, and then it was let go. It was amazing.
You know, isn't it amazing when they get so mad at you and you have no clue what you did? They're saying, you know what, you're just such a loser. I don't even know what I did. You're wasting your energy. Okay, excuse me. Not that I've been in that situation at all, but not to imply I'd ever drive that way. Any others? Okay, let me, let's slide one away. What happened there? Good. I wasn't intending, I was going to sing the last verse, but that is fine. Let's at this time, we're going to take prayer requests. We're already at 7:30, so. Do you have prayer requests? You can either pray for them or share them.
Okay. Well, this is Diana, and I do have two prayer requests. The first one is for my daughter, Latoya. She's pretty sick right now, and I'm not sure what it is, but she's also had a bad migraine for at least 2 days. And so God knows what goes wrong in her body. It seems like she gets these migraines. So pray that God would be giving her comfort and bring healing if it's in his will. Also, my grandson, LaDainian, his eczema is just off the chart, out of whack again. And he's discouraged. There's a part of him that's giving up on doing anything he's supposed to take care of himself in that regard. I am concerned for him. 11-year-olds go through stuff with discouragement, but this is getting deeper than it has before. And just ask for prayer. I ask that the Lord would move in his heart, but also if he could bring healing. This has been going on since he was barely walking, so this is just a hard journey for my grandson, LaDainian.
Susan, I spoke with Ruthie today. She's had some setbacks. She's basically in bed full time. Please be praying for healing and wisdom. Is this more spinal, more osteoporosis, or is it a hip problem all by itself? She doesn't know. So please pray for wisdom for her and her doctors. Also, David is under the gun to get a package in the mail for teaching a Muslim awareness outreach to some outgoing missionaries. Please pray for wisdom for him. And also, please pray for salvation for our friend Noor, who is married to a Christian man but is hanging on to Islam. She's hanging on to Islam. So please pray for her salvation and for unsafe family.
This is Christy. I saw on Facebook yesterday that Justin Gilbert had totaled his car, and we just went through all of that, like finding another mm-hmm. car and figuring out what we do in between of finding another car, and so I'm sure he'd appreciate prayer as he looks for a new vehicle.
Yep.
And heals up from the accident. I think he's not, like, he wasn't injured really bad, but, like, it always makes you sore.
Yeah. Well, he was in the gym playing basketball, so he must be feeling reasonably well. But he did have a really, he totaled his car. I think he rear-ended someone else, if I understood it correct, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't be praying for him. I mean, he's probably without transportation. So, would I have someone pray for these requests so far, and then we'll take others? Are you raising your hand to pray, or are you raising your hand to add more requests?
I was going to add one. I wasn't.
Well, just add one more.
Okay. So Sherry Cook emailed me at work today. She works in the St. Paul branch of Health Partners, and she has what she thinks is some pretty bad tendonitis in her left wrist. That's why she's not here tonight. So it's been some pretty bad pain. So just pray for wisdom that they would be able to find out what's going on there.
Now, who is this now?
Sherry Cook.
Oh, Sherry Cook. Okay.
Yep. I'll pray for the next batch if you want.
Okay. Is it the first one or the second?
I'll pray for the second round.
Okay. Father, we come before you. We are so thrilled that we are able to bring before the throne room of the Creator God, the great healer. Father, we have several ones that are physical needs, Natanya and the grandson. And Father, we just pray that you would miraculously work in both those situations. Both have gone on for a long time, Father, and we recognize that healing isn't always your will, but it is always in aligned with our will. We would pray that ours would line up with yours. We ask, Father, that you might help in this very special situation. I also think of Ruth Dennison. What a soldier for you. And yet she has had one physical setback after another since her husband has passed. And we just pray, Father, that you might have mercy on her and heal her as well as everyone else on the healing list. We do pray for Brother Dave as he tries to prepare this training material for these missionaries, and pray that you would just bless that effort and make it help him to remember other sessions that he has done this, and to be able to combine that so that it would not have to be all new material. We do pray for Noor. We prayed many, many times for her that she has been hearing the gospel. She's been engaged with other Christians. So we pray, Father, in a powerful way, you might work in her heart. Father, that you might open her heart so that she would understand who Christ is and her need for a Savior. We do pray for unsafe family members of Susan, but of all of ours, Father, we ask that you might intervene. We think of Sherry Cook's physical challenges and her desire to serve you, and it's inhibiting that ability for her to do that. And so we pray, Father, that you would help. And for Justin, in this accident now, Father, I pray that you would help him, help us to have wisdom how we can help him with his transportation needs in the interim. I don't know what his insurance situation is, but I do know that in every one of these situations, there is a lot of inconvenience and a lot of details. And so I pray that you would underpin Justin and his efforts there. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we can bring prayer requests to you. We thank you for who you are. You are such a wonderful God, so powerful and so all-knowing, and so personally involved with us. It is truly stunning, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do we have any other prayer requests?
This is This is a praise and a prayer request. We've been asking for prayer for Christy Johnson for probably a month or 6 weeks in Sunday school and in this Wednesday night meeting and other meetings, and because she needed housing, and it didn't look good. It looked like the people that were responsible to get it lined up had dropped the ball. As a matter of fact, one had, and that person was fired. But because of it. So it was a very hard situation for her. She's learning to trust the Lord, and He has provided that housing that she needs. She found out today she had to go sign the papers tonight. But it was just a wonderful example of how God loves us enough to answer prayer, even when it doesn't look like it's going to go in the right direction many times. So that's, and maybe in help, I guess the prayer request might be that she get enough help moving. She'll be moving Tuesday and Wednesday, the 31st and the 1st.
Okay. Cindy, I'd like prayer for my husband, Mike. He has an interview on tomorrow, a job interview, and also his foot. He was supposed to have an MRI on Tuesday, but he canceled, or Monday maybe it was. He canceled the appointment because he found out it was going to be like $1,400. But he woke up that morning and his foot, he had a lot of relief. So he had a lot of relief with his foot. It was starting to hurt a little bit more again this afternoon. But he was up on a roof yesterday. So it's crazy. Can't keep him down. But just pray that God would bring healing to his foot and that the interview would go well. Thank you.
Amen.
This is Marie, and it's good to be back with you. We have a family wedding coming up, a niece in Rockford, that we will attend. Many unsaved people, but this niece we've been in contact with a lot, and Doug has written her a lot when she was in school with questions for her classes. We stayed in close connection, and her father's moved to Minneapolis, and we've been in connection with him. So as we go to Rockford, it will be the 10th of June, which the next day we leave and go to Northland for the first week of family camp. And Doug's preparing now for that, so a lot of preparation going into those two things.
I have a praise also. My grandson, Mickey, had surgery this morning for his eyes, and that went very well. Obviously, it's very early, so you never know if it worked, but everything, he went through it, and the doctors were very pleased with the way it progressed. And so give it a couple of days, and we should be able to see that immediately. So praise the Lord for that. Others? Okay, Kurt, if you wouldn't mind closing with praying for those requests.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and we thank you for the grace that we've been able to sing about and praise you for. We thank you for your love to us that's shown every day in big and small ways, and most importantly in the salvation that you've offered to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. As we bring these requests to you, we ask, first of all, that your name would be made great through all of them. We realize that everything happens in our life for the purpose of your glory and to bring us to be more like Jesus Christ. And so we pray that you would work that in each one of these situations. We praise you for the housing that you've provided for Christy Johnson. You know that she's been working and hoping and praying for that for quite some time now. And it's just such a blessing to see you provide for her. And we ask that you would use this to draw her closer to yourself, Father, that she would learn more about you, that she would trust you more and walk in a closer relationship with you. Pray that we would be able to help her with the move coming up and be able to be a blessing to her in a tangible way that way. We ask also for Mike as he has an interview that's coming up. We ask for your blessing on the interview, that you would give him grace and favor in the eyes of those that he'll be speaking with. And we pray that if it's your will, that he would be able to get this job and be able to continue employment. In all of it, Father, we're praying that you would use these circumstances in Mike's life to draw him closer to yourself, that he would love you more and know you in a deeper and better way. We pray for his foot, that you would heal that. Father, you know that our bodies are so frail and fragile, and yet you have crafted us in a miraculous and wonderful way. You know every detail about our bodies, and we pray that if it's your will, that you would heal his foot. And if that's not your will, Father, if you have a different path for Mike, we pray for grace, that you would give wisdom to both Mike and Cindy as they make choices, and pray that you would be glorified in all of that. We ask also for the McLaughlins as they have a wedding coming up over in Rockford. Pray that you would give them safety in travel and that it would be a good time with the family. But most importantly, Father, we pray that you would give them the strength and power of the Holy Spirit to be a testimony there to the unsaved family members. Thank you for the open relationship that you've given them over the years to be able to minister your gospel to them. And we pray that through this close and important family time, that your word would shine through their lives, and that even at this joyous occasion of two lives coming together, that there would be an even greater joy at the salvation of many there in their family. And we pray that you would give them that grace for it. We ask also for Dr. McLaughlin as he prepares for the family camp up at Northland, that you give him wisdom in his preparation, and that in everything that happens there, through the personal interactions, through the preaching of your word, that your name would be lifted up and exalted, that men and women would see you as the great and awesome creator that you are and the loving Savior that comes for his own. And I pray that many people would be turned to you and that their faith would be strengthened in you. We also want to praise you that Mickey Burns' surgery went well and ask that you would bless him in the recovery. And we just feel so badly for the little guy as he's gone through so much in his young life so far and many medical difficulties. Father, you have created Mickey in the perfect way for your purposes. And so we pray that you would use all of his difficulties to strengthen both Brendan and Gloria, that they would trust you more. Help us as their church family to be there to support and encourage and to be there for them. And we pray in everything, Father, whether it's with these issues that we've brought before you, whether it's blessings in our lives or whatever comes our way every day, we pray that we would know you better and better. To know you is life eternal. That's what existence is all about. So we pray that we would make that our life's goal and end, and that in each circumstance you bring into our lives, please help us to see that it's being used to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ and give us the grace to trust you to make right decisions. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to, can you move forward to the Bible devotional? Thank you. Now, as I said, this photograph is to remind us that there are a lot of situations where we feel like we barely have a hand out of the water. And it does seem very overwhelming and very desperate. But nothing is overwhelming nor desperate to our God. And that's a critical truth to remember. I chose this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'd like you to turn there in your Bible. Because frankly, you need to tie this to your own Bible so that you can come back and use it. I use these three verses together. First of all, the Corinthian culture is much like our own culture today. It was very, very sensual, very, very carnal. The Christians were confused on their doctrine, and they were just going, living on their feelings, and they had a lot of parallels to us, or we have a lot of parallels to them. And I am reminded when I look at the combination, this trio of verses. Verse 13 is where there's just so much hope, but it is encapsulated with two powerful reminders for me, who I struggle with the same things of our culture, right? Narcissism, this I can do anything. I was raised that, listen, son, just stand up and take it. You can handle this. Don't give me excuses. Get the job done. That's how it's rear, and that's how our culture, responds to people. Notice what verse 12 tells us when you're in the midst of a struggle. And I are seeing people, I can get through this. I don't have to go to treatment. I can make this on my own. Have we not heard this? I mean, I have heard this so many times, I almost throw up when I start hearing the line. What does Scripture say? Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls. a powerful reminder of the importance of humility, recognizing it isn't us that allow us to get through different things. It is God's grace that allows us to get through it. If it is just us alone, we're going to get plowed over every single time. And this is a reminder not to put it in and put our trust in ourselves. And then it goes on to say, no temptation was taken, overtaking you except as such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it, to carry. Now, I find it fascinating right here is that not that you may be able to get away from it or get out of it. You notice this? It's not talking about that. That's our culture. I want to get this done with. I want to be over with it. That isn't what God says life is about. It's about facing different situations and in it, learning to trust and rest in Him. Now, notice the solution, though. Therefore, He does tell us how to live here. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. What does flee sound like to you? What does idolatry mean in your mind when you hear of idolatry? It's anything you are worshiping, you want really desperately. Think about addiction. Think about relationships that are falling apart. They want it back together so bad that if they could just get this back together, then they will be. No, it doesn't work that way. You've got to be the person that God wants you to be. And God may put these pieces back together, but you need to respond biblically in the midst of it. In the midst of that, He says, if you're really smart, you're going to run away from these false gods. Run from them. That's a powerful reminder. Don't sit around and see how close you can get. I've seen people that addictions or alcohol is a beautiful one to talk about because it so models the addictions that are in pornography and just all any of the sins. There's parallels. But one of the things that someone who struggles with alcohol or something like that will often say when they haven't really gotten serious about honoring God with their life, they're still about serving themselves, is that they can manage it. Because they want to stay close to their idol. So they don't want to really give it up. Let's not get serious here. I don't have to give it up. No, it says flee it. Get away from it. And I'll tell you what, some people can. Scripture does not say that it is a sin to drink. I'm not trying to stand before you and make that argument. I don't believe it is it's a biblical argument to make. What is the biblical argument is none of us ought to drink at all in this culture because too many are falling because of it. And we ought to stay away from it because they may be encouraged to think they could do it. You get the point? I noted that in 1 Corinthians, it also talked about flee before. Paul was saying something about a normal response to sinful environments. It's a good thing to get away from it. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, it was talking about a really horrendous sin of immorality. Flee sexual immorality. That's what he says. Same word, same thought. You run away from this stuff. You don't see how close you can. You don't see how much you can absorb without getting caught into it. Just get away from it. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there are four very critical thoughts. Very, very critical thoughts that you need to make sure you see and that you could point out to someone else. The first one is found in this comment to man. Your trial is not unique. I am telling you, you don't understand, Pastor. This is, and I get this story about what sounds very similar to the last 20 people I've talked to, but from the sinner's mindset, their challenge has this unique twist that makes them like they're all alone fighting this. But Scripture says, no. That isn't the way it is. It's common to man. These are things that are just part of the flesh. And people get tempted. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's tempted to alcohol or to pornography or some or drugs or lying or stealing. I'm not saying we're all caught up all the same to the same degree. We have our designer sins. There's no doubt about it. Every one of us has some designer aspect. God has allowed us to be a little more vulnerable in one area versus the other. But what is Satan's lie to this? It is consistently brought up if you're working with people. And that is this other portion. No one else has ever gone through anything like this. Pastor, I can't make it. I'm the only... No. Look at what Scripture says. It's common to man. And what you have to do is be honest about what Scripture is teaching here. And it strips away that way we lie to ourselves. Someone has said that the number one person who is talking to you is you. He talks to you more. You talk to more to yourself than anybody else talks to you. You're constantly talking to yourself. You're telling yourself, this is a good idea, this is a bad idea, I really don't like this, I like that. And you've got to be careful that you tell yourself biblical truths. That's the key. That's what I believe David is referring to when he says, meditate on these things. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to his word. His word have I hid in my heart that I might sin against thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. It's about having the word of God there so that we, when we start looking at something, we say, oh, I know what God says about that. Number two is your God is faithful. Now, what is the word? What is the flesh side? What is Satan telling you? He's telling you God's not there for you. He has left you all on your own. You're in this alone. There was no one to turn to. I didn't know what to do, and I just gave. No, no. When you start thinking that way, you have to slap yourself in the face and say, hold on a second. That is not biblical thinking. And I'm being very candid with you. Some people literally need to literally get up and say, look in the mirror and say, no, 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 no. I am not going to believe the lies that are being generated in my mind when the Word of God says this. And you've got to hold on to what the Word of God says. So we want to say to a person, listen, nothing's unique. You can find other people that have had the same. And you actually, if you really get into it, you will always find someone that has a better story than yours in this area of your really a struggle. Somebody has been through it worse than you have. But God is absolutely faithful. You can count on Him. He never leaves us. It may feel like we... You know, one of the things that I've recognized in my own life, I can feel a long ways away from God when I refuse to turn to Him. And I keep doing a self-pity act, and I'm thinking I'm going to have to figure out how to get out of this mess myself. It doesn't work. But guess what else? God has never been away from you. There is no running from Him. That's what Psalms 137 and 39 says. You can't run away from Him. You can't go down to the depths of hell. You can't go up into the sky. He's everywhere you go. He is there. There's no getting away from Him. The third one, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able? Now, that is a little slap in the face when you say, I've said 100 times I'm never doing this again, and then you fall prey to it. But it is a sobering thought when you're reminded that God said in His Word that you will never, ever be tempted beyond what you're able to say no to as a believer. Never. I'm not saying you won't ever stumble. We're human. We do make a lot of mistakes. But we never have to make them. We never have to choose sin. The lie is, this is too much. No one can endure this. I can't carry this burden. I can't. How can I resist? This is too tempting. Well, one, flee. That's a great idea. That's why it said in the very next verse, run away from it. I say, as far as an emergency plan, a 911 plan, Everybody ought to identify what people, what places, and what practices you need to keep away from. There are people that cause you to think in ways that are not good. There are places that do that, and there are practices. And every one of them, we ought to be able to recognize, hey, I'm not going there, and I'm not doing this, I'm not going to hang around with these people. We all have those tendencies. There's some area, especially if you have an addictive pattern in your past. Identify it and stay away from it. And then the fourth one, very simple. There is a way out of this. And the point is, we'll also make a way of escape. So when I'm in the midst of the trouble, I am sitting there saying, I don't know the way out of here, but God, I know you have a way. Now my prayer is that you'll help me see it sooner rather than later. Fact is, you know what has happened to me over the last 3 or 4 years? 3 years, 4 years? Many, many times I've gotten into situations which are too complex for my mind to figure out. I get overwhelmed and I really get, you know, it's overwhelming. It's frightening. You say, what is this going to do? What's going to do to our ministry? What is it going to do to my life, my family, my health, whatever it is? And I sit back and say, Lord, thank you for bringing me to this point. Thank you. Because once again, here it is. And I am going to be really excited to see how this gets solved. I stand ready to do whatever I can, but honestly, Lord, I cannot figure out what to do. But you said there's a way out of this. So, Lord, just I'm here. Show me which way to take my next step. And that's how he guides us. And you know, one of the things in this situation, when you're really in the worst of worst situations, simply say to yourself, how can I honor God right now? How can I honor him? That's the way of escape. If it is to start singing praises to him in the midst of an absolutely discouraging situation, that very likely what Paul was doing in prison. You know, it just, let's just sing. The apostles did that. Let's just sing. Let's sing praises to him. Because God has a purpose in this. And you know what? We have so many examples. And as I start to now keep inventory in my own life, I know it in myself. My own life, I can see situations that absolutely looked impossible to get through. And here we are, 5 years later. They are only remembered by me. Everybody else has forgot about the situation. I remember how crushing it was at the time. But now, instead of remembering the crushing blow, I remember the power of the Lord Jesus Christ coming, getting a hold of the situation and turning it around. And what a thrill it is to walk with him. And so the other side of that lie is there's no way out. You're stuck. Give up. Just go and partake in the sin. You might as well do it anyway. And I'm saying to you, we do not have to do this. We do not have to go there. Now, if I had a fifth point, and I probably will put a fifth point on this, it would be, remember how the verse ends. It says you're going to be in it, but you're going to be able to endure it. I'll go back here if I can get back there quick enough. Right down there. Right there, verse 13. That you may be able to bear it. Just remember, he's not talking about taking this off the front of the battle. He's talking about giving us the strength to endure the battle. And there's a huge difference in that. Huge difference in our expectation, too, by the way. So, it is already 8 o'clock, so if Jeremy would return to the piano, and I can move it forward there, we're going to sing Because He Lives. We'll sing one verse together, and then we'll close. Why don't you stand with me as we do this? sent His Son. They call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Thank you, Jeremy. Before we pray, I just want to say that this Sunday, I won't be in the book of Jeremiah. I've had about all the judgment I can handle for right now. We're going to leave that for a little bit, just so that I can get my morale back up. It's been a little heavy as you study the book and meditate on it. But maybe I'm delving into another area. I'm going to talk about truth. And let me say, this is very relevant to us. I'm going to talk about moral relativism, cultural relativism, and ethical relativism, which we are facing and even communicate without really knowing it. We communicate in this way also. I'm also going to deal with how we, it's a challenge to me as a pastor, that I love our Bible studies. I love the way we get together in our small groups and we exchange, and we really are causing iron sharpeneth iron. It's definitely going on within the midst. But I don't believe we're doing it the best way possible. I don't think the Lord would necessarily be pleased with all of our interactions. And I'm going to deal with that in the context of truth and how we need to do it in a way where we recognize the process that we're all in. We're all in a growth process. We're not at the same point on every issue. We are a very diverse group, and we need to recognize something that I was taught some 35 years ago in my ministry, stuck with me very, very much. It says, you know what? You'll be really smart once you recognize you can't teach anybody anything. You can only help a person discover the truth for themselves. And when we engage in discussions with one another, we ought not to be so teachy. And we ought to be more sharing why we're holding this position so that they can discover truth for themselves. I'm sure we'll find it to be much more profitable as we go forward in our walk with Christ. Amen? That is to prepare us for the study, Behold Your God. Because I'll tell you what, you are going to be challenged about how well you are connecting with God and how well you know Him. Heavenly Father, I thank You. Thank You for the night. I thank You for Jeremy coming and for Jackson being with us and for everyone else that is here and for the teens that are here and the children that are here, for the workers that are helping them. And Father, for the freedoms that we enjoy and for the health that we have to be here. Lord, we just lift up ourselves to You, Lord. Use us. Use us in the lives of others that we come in contact with for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming, and God bless you.